The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out in them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have not caught anything, have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled the boat so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a wise saying by the great philosopher, the Iron Mike Tyson, who once said, "Every fighter has a plan until they get punched in the face." I have to say, I never imagined I'd start a sermon quoting Mike Tyson before, but a time for everything, right? This phrase that popped into my head when I was reading through our text for this week, particularly Isaiah and Luke, because both of them are about being called, stepping into the ring, stepping into the arena, and what that can mean for us. One of the shortfalls of selecting small sets of verses to read each week is that we don't necessarily see the full story. Right? We hear Isaiah being called, and it crescendos to this wonderful verse, a wonderful response of Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 8. "Here I am, send me." Isaiah takes his superhero pose, and we can imagine the music swelling, and he's sent and never fails at anything ever again. Or we see Jesus calling the disciples, "Come and follow me, do not be afraid, and from now on you will be catching people." And they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. And the disciples take their superhero pose and the music swells and they never have any fear and everything is smooth sailing for them forever and ever. Definitely nothing like crucifixions or anything like that in their future. I love that we read on just a few more verses in Isaiah, because after the music finishes swelling, Isaiah remains, and the seraph says, "Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to send you, but they're not going to understand you. Their ears will be closed. Their eyes will be shut. You're going to ask them to turn and repent, and they're going to laugh and ignore you." And Isaiah asks, "Well, how long is that going to last?" The seraph says, "Until everything is destroyed." We read further in Luke's gospel. We know that the disciples stumbled and faced resistance. We know that not everything went according to plan, and there were troubles that were lying ahead. We know that the road of discipleship was rocky. Every fighter has a plan until they get punched in the face. Anytime we're called to do something new, anytime we're called to something bold or something brave, it can be difficult to confidently say yes. And In fact, our human nature immediately identifies all of the ways it won't work out. Right? We see this happening in call stories all the time. Well, I can't do that. I don't have time. I don't have the skills. What if it doesn't work out? If it's any consolation, Isaiah did that too. Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. You do not want me to bring the word of the Lord. Do you know my past? If it's any further consolation, the disciples did that too. Simon Peter sees what Jesus does, falls down at his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Do you know what I have done? If you knew, then you would not be calling me to do this work." Yet these are exactly the people whom God calls to do the work and ministry of the gospel. This is the work that God has called us to do as well. We live in a world that could use some good news. Amen? Amen. We hear the call and the claim of Jesus Christ on our lives in our baptism. Just as Isaiah's lips were touched with the coals, just as Simon Peter fell to the knees of Jesus, we have been called into the ministry and work of the gospel as well. When the waters of baptism touched our foreheads, words of call and promise were spoken over us. When we affirmed our baptism, we made promises that to the best of our abilities, we would live among God's faithful people. We would hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper. We would proclaim the love of God in word and deed. We would serve following the example of Jesus, and we would strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Does this mean that the responsibility for solving the world's problems is ours and ours alone? No. Does it mean that responsibility for feeding everyone in the world is ours and ours alone? Of course not. But it does mean that we are called and claimed by God, who promises to be with us even to the end of the age. And we're tasked with doing that work of Christ here and now in our community. There's a saying from the ancient Jewish text of the Mishnah, the teaching of ancient rabbis, and it says, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." Church, God has created us with gifts and passions for the flourishing of community and creation. God has called us together from all of our various pasts to hear in this place, to live and hear and share and proclaim and serve and strive together in this time and this place. God has called us to do justly now, to love mercy now, to walk humbly now. We're not obligated to complete the work, but neither are we free to abandon it. So when you're feeling weary about the state of the world, and there's plenty of weariness to go around in our world today, prayer is that Paul's words from 1 Corinthians would be your guide. He reminds the church, says, "Hold firmly to the message proclaimed to you, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that none of this is random, that he appeared to many of our siblings in Christ." Paul says, "Last of all, he appeared to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle." He finishes with this, and I want you to hear this. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. By the grace of God, I am who I am, and God's grace toward me has not been in vain." Beloved of God, by the grace of God, we are who we are. And God's grace toward us has not been in vain. So do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. We're not obligated to complete the work, but neither are we free to abandon it. And as we go on our way together, may the words of the psalmist ring true in our lives. You will make good your purpose for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever, and you will not abandon the works of your hands. For this we say thanks be to God. Amen.